My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 1 Corinthians 6, Paul could say this because he knew that his body and his spirit were God's who had bought him with the great price of Jesus' blood. Are you really being faithful to the Lord? You know, sometimes we equate faithfulness to the Lord by the assembly. Or sometimes we equate faithfulness to the Lord by being here on Sunday to partake of the Lord's Supper. I don't want you to misunderstand me, so listen very carefully. If you equate faithfulness to the Lord by assembling and taking the Lord's Supper, chances are that's not faithfulness. Now, what do I mean by that? Do you have to be here? Does the Bible say faithfulness in attending the assembly? Sure it does. Hebrews 10, verse 25 teaches us that we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're told in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. But if that's all it is, you have missed the point of being faithful. It's not Sunday. That's not the only day we're faithful. We're faithful to God every day that we live. At work, at home, around your friends, in the community. Do you put God first every other day of the week? And so, can you know you're in a right relationship with God? Yes, if you deal with sin properly. And yes, if you're faithful to the Lord by putting Him above all else in your life. How else can we know that we're faithful, that we have a right relationship with God? I want to suggest to you this morning that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt you have a right relationship with God by studying the Bible. You know, this is such an elementary point. If we study God's Word, and if I will look into the Bible and then examine my own life, I can know for sure that I'm right with God. Now, I mentioned it in the outset, but I want you to open your Bible with me to 1 John chapter 5. Open to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. I believe as we study the written Word and as we read the Scriptures and meditate on those things that God has given us, we can know, if we're honest with ourselves and the Bible, that we're right or we're not right with God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Here's the point. If we read the things that are written and we do those things in our life, we can know that we have a right relationship with God. The Bible cannot lead us astray. If we will follow it as directed in God's Word, then the only place we could go is to heaven itself. But sometimes we don't apply the Bible's principles in our own lives. Sometimes, you know, here's the problem. Sometimes we don't study the Bible to know whether we're right or not. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show yourself approved unto God." My Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that we ought to search the Scriptures daily to see if the things that are written are so. You know, every day you're going to be tempted. How do you overcome temptation? Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Every day you face temptation, and the only way to overcome temptation is the Word of God. That teaches us that every day we ought to be studying and learning from our Bible. How are you going to overcome temptation? How are you going to know you're right with God? Jesus said you can know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We're not to be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so you can know you're right if you read the Bible and do what it says and obey its principles. Oftentimes the problem is we let other things get in the way, and we let our desires and our wants get in the way of reading the Scriptures. Why don't we have more daily Bible readers than we do? You stop and think about it. You answer the question, why didn't you read the Bible daily this week? I could probably put that answer in there for you, because I let other things get in the way. You know why? Because I've been there and you've been there and we've all been in that same situation. If I'm tempted daily and the way to overcome temptation is through the Word of God, then I ought to be studying my Bible and reading it every day. Number one, to learn more about God and how to serve Him properly. And so you can know you're right with God if you study His Word and apply its principles to our life. Look at one passage with me in James chapter 1. I think there's a text that teaches us just how important it is to daily look into God's Word. James chapter 1, I think, pictures the Word of God as the mirror of the soul. James chapter 1, verses 22 following. Notice verse 22, the context is being doers of the Word. And so be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now notice, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. The Bible presents here as being the mirror of the soul. The person who looks into it and doesn't do what it says is like a person who can't remember what he looks like. But the one who looks into it and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This is the one who will be blessed. And so, if you want to know what your soul looks like, there's a perfect picture of it in the Bible. And you can know if your soul is right with God if you compare it with the mirror of the soul, the Bible itself. Then I want to suggest a fourth way we can know we're right with God, and that is to examine your prayer life. I think our prayer life says a lot about our relationship with God. I find that oftentimes in my own life, when I'm not praying as I ought to be, I'm not as close to God as I ought to be. When I am praying more, I find that I have a deeper relationship with God. Is your prayer life what it ought to be? Do you have a prayer life? If not, you're not going to be able to have a relationship with God. We're going to talk about it more next week, but you know what the key to most relationships are? One thing that is needed in most marital trouble, and I would suggest in any relationship, communication. Are you communicating with God? God communicates to us in His Word, but do we have communication with Him? The Bible says it's something that we must do. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you." The Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought to pray always and never lose heart. Jesus was a great example of a prayer life. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, in the morning, a great while before daylight, He departed, went to a solitary place, and there prayed. Is that like your prayer life? Do you have a prayer life? It's going to say a lot about your relationship with God. If you don't have a prayer life, you probably don't have much of a relationship with the Father. The more of a prayer life you have, I would suggest the more close or the closer you can be and the greater that relationship is with the Father. And then I would suggest also that your relationship with God depends on your ability to tell others about Jesus Christ, to evangelize. Evangelizing is part of our relationship with God. If God has saved me from my sin, and if Jesus Christ truly is the personal Savior who can save all the world, and I truly love the Lord, am I going to keep it to myself? You think about that. If you had the cure for a dreaded disease today, what would you do with it? You sure wouldn't keep it to yourself. I want to suggest to you that your relationship with God depends heavily on your ability to tell others about Christ. If I love the Lord and I truly want others to go to heaven and I'm doing what the Bible says, then I must teach others about the gospel of Christ in some way. I'm not saying everybody's going to do it the same. I'm not saying you're going to go up to the stranger on the sidewalk and say, "Hey, let me tell you about the Lord." Some can. Others can do it in different ways. But each of us is called to do that. Let me illustrate. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is talking to His immediate disciples. You and I are disciples today if we continue in the Word, according to John chapter 8, verse 31. And thus, the implication and application is still just as true for us today. Matthew chapter 28, I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Here Jesus commissions them and He says, here's your job. Here's your calling. Go into the world and tell others about my gospel, my Son. Colossians 1:24 says, we're to warn every man, teaching them about Christ. We persuade men because we know the terror of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 through 17 teaches us. Now ask yourself, why is it sometimes that we don't tell others about Christ? Why is it that when you're in a crowd and people are talking about the gospel, do you not say something? Is it sometimes because we're ashamed that somebody might laugh at us or make fun of us? Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You've been around people and you know people who've had something great happen to them, and boy, they're ready to tell you about it. That's the way we ought to feel about telling others about Jesus. If I truly, now you think about it, if you truly have a relationship with God and God means that much to you and the sacrifice of His Son is that personal to you and you know that it can save others as well, how can you not tell others about the gospel of Christ?